WDADX Mobile 14714, good morning.
CI7Q, I'm delisting on 14519 link system.
APM is testing. Foxtrot 8, Bravo Papa, mic is clear.
KE8ZYW mobile monitoring.
QBS Esther.
KD8SWR. W8COP.
Well, hi, Chris. Thanks for hearing you here.
Well, hello, Jeffrey. Yep. Well, you know, I do monitor the 7-0 in Mayo, so I guess we're you're linked up at some point.
In fact, I figured you'd have been hibernating down south.
Yeah, I know. You don't do that no more, but it's head state anyway.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing it in. Well, I think hopefully we're going to come out of a deep freeze here in a week or so. I'll survive somehow. You must be up this way somewhere.
No. No, not even close. Just on my node. Mouth or node. When's the last time you've been out of the house, Chris? If you don't mind me asking.
About an hour ago. You know, we still meet for breakfast on Thursday mornings up north of Rose City, so, yeah, I actually do venture out into this weather. I know that's hard to believe, but, yeah. I actually, just finishing up teaching a 3-week, ham radio technician class, so, all the way over in Hale.
Holy cow! There's people that want to be hams in Hale? Well, hell yeah.
Yep, there you go. That's, we got 8 of them. And, well, 9, actually, I should say. And, so, they're going to take their test next Tuesday down at Skidway, and, hopefully we'll get some new techs in the area. Most of them are, local CERT members, from the various counties in the area here, so. Not anybody that really is getting their license because they love radio.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, that's good. Could you were able to bring them on board even if they're not going to be very active? It might be, but well, good for you. Where are you doing a class at the school?
Yeah, it was a school at one time. It's a community center. It's called Eagle Point Plaza over, over east of 65 in Hale. And emergency management was able to wrangle a classroom there for a few weeks. So. I kind of teach it as at the behest of emergency management. You know, every year I say it's my last year teaching, and the following February I get bombarded with emails and please, please, and, you know, just can't say no.
Well, what else you gonna do in the middle of winter? Might as well. Yeah, my grandma and grandpa used to have a cabin on Little Long Lake, so my aunt lived up there. Cousins. I spent some time up there every weekend for quite a few years on Little Long Lake. Got some fond memories from up there. It's changed a little bit. It's been a few years since they went through. Kind of the same. School used to be west of 65 there, north side of the road. At one point. Did some, I don't know, picnics and stuff at the fire department. And pretty good size building in the fire department, if I remember right. Grandma and Grandpa were a little active up there. They weren't on the fire department, but active in the community.
Well, the school is still west of 65 there. The buildings that are east of 65, where we're having the classes, the building doesn't appear to be that old, so I don't know exactly the story on, I don't know the local lore that well, but it's kind of converted into a community center, and well, I know in the evenings I can hear kids playing basketball in the gym, and I got a few nice, good-sized classrooms there, so it's really worked out well, a great facility. The only issue, we have the class from 6 to 8, and the caretaker of the building, you have to be packed up and out the door by 8 because he's shutting the lights off and locking doors. And so that kind of made it tough, but, most of the people that are taking the class, unlike me, are still gainfully employed, so tough for them to do it any earlier in the day. WACOP.
KBSWR. Yeah, you almost have to start the class at 5:45, or you're done at 7:45. Goofy times, but I guess that's the way it's got to be. But, as I recall, there's really not a lot for the youth to do in, around there, especially in the wintertime, other than snowmobile. We went up a little bit in the winter, but did some ice fishing and stuff, but mostly summertime, fall, cut a lot of wood. They burned wood, so hauled a lot of wood from up there.
Well, that's still the case for a lot of folks up here. A lot of people heat with wood, and I've thought about, we've got a fireplace, but I've got a gas log in it. I've actually thought about trying to maybe put a pellet stove in or wood stove or something to supplement, but I don't know that by the time you do all that, plus the wood, and, I'm not young like you. I can't go out and wrangle that much wood anymore, and I don't really enjoy spending time doing that. So I just keep paying the company to bring the big truck and fill the big tank. Yeah, we survive that way.
Yep. Well, it's not free. I mean, you got to cut it. You got to have a chainsaw. You got to buy a chainsaw. You got to buy the oil. You got to buy the gas. So, the wood's still not free. You got to haul it, handle it. It's just a different type of cost.
Yep, exactly. Like most things in life, nothing is, there's no free ride. So, I mean, I've got plenty of wood here. I've got 10 acres, and, we burn very little. I mean, I keep a wood pile for the, out in the barn. I got a wood burner out there, but I don't find myself spending too much time out there in the wintertime. I mean, I can get it, up to 50 degrees out there pretty quick. So if I have to, I can, but I enjoy my time in the shack. It's a good time for it because what else is there to do? And it's still not enough hours in the day to get everything done I want to do.
Yep. Well, I suppose if you're retired, the cost of cutting the wood's cheaper because you're not taking away time from other places. I mean, you go out, cut wood for a couple hours a day, have a pretty good pile before long. Just, like I said, just a different cost. Grandma, Grandpa, I mean, every weekend, for a couple months, we'd be out splitting and
truck, and I remember one time we had a load of wood coming back, and me and my brother were in the back. We made a spot to sit in the back, and had a tarp we put over top. It was always tradition to stop there on 13. There was an ice cream shop there, Linwood, I think it was, and get ice cream at the old McDonald's area, maybe, just south of the stoplight on the west side. And one time, they were piling on there. One time I couldn't eat it, so I ate what I could, and I tossed it. And we got back to Grandma and Grandpa's, and first thing Grandma asked me, you couldn't eat all your ice cream? I see you threw it out. It's like, how did you see that?
I take it was all over the side of the truck.
Big truck flatbed, so no, I tossed it out the back, but somehow she seen me. She must have been looking in the very moment I tossed it. It was kind of crazy.
Well, I'm sure your grandparents, like most, probably lived through the Depression, so to see you throw away perfectly good ice cream had to be a little bit of trauma.
Yeah. Well, they were okay, but they weren't that hard up. But yeah, that's just the way Grandma was. I mean, she was. That's how it worked out. Every weekend coming home, we'd stop there. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. There's that stoplight. It's that Linwood Road. There's a stoplight there. Now they build a gas station just north of that. Car dealership on the same side as the ice cream shop used to be. I think it was a McDonald's dairy. Old-time ice cream parlor. It's gone now. They tore it down, but yeah, they did not pimp when they scooped out the ice cream.
No, I know. I know the general area you're talking about. You know, I've spent my good amount of time up and down 13 through the years too, so, but, well, those are great memories, you know, and you hate to see a lot of those older places like that go by the wayside, but, you know, I still, haven't been there too many times, but, I think it's closer to Kaukaulin down there to Turkey Roost. I just like to stop in there and have a bite to eat, and Andrew and I went in there, oh, I don't know, a year or two ago, and it was like stepping right back into the 60s again, and yeah, turkey was delicious.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I throw my call here on occasion. Haven't heard Drake in a while. Wondering how things are going up there. He was working on some stuff. I wonder if that ever, whatever became of that stuff. So, trying to keep stuff moving forward.
Well, the whole link system has been pretty quiet as of late. You know, once in a while you hear somebody throw their call out. And usually hear Drake out here, but again, I just came back in here a little while ago. Hey, I got a question for you while I got you. On Sunday afternoon on the ARPANET, when you guys are linking up the various repeaters, I take it that the voter will still pass the audio through even though you don't hear the repeater drop?
Yeah, it's each mic brings the TS-2000 into the system, and there's no squelch, so you just key up, start talking. You know, you'll hear the critters going locally. But when you IP, it throws some people, and some people are mad about it, and I just say, well, sorry, if you don't like it, you know, turn your radio off for that hour, because this is a public service that, you know, brings more people into the network and allows them more check-in. So, like I said, some people don't like it, some people really like it, so. You can even listen on Echolink. If you can't
check in because it never drops. You know, the Echolink never gives you a chance to transmit your simplex, so, per se. So you can't check in on Echolink, but you can listen.
No, I think the linking is a good thing when he, you know, because it's just temporary during the net. Brings it up and then he drops it. But what I find more annoying isn't anything to do with the link. It's these guys that have their HF rigs on Vox, and then they leave the room and the dog comes in there and starts chewing on a toy, a squeaky toy, or they've left the TV on in the background. That's what I find annoying.
Yeah. I hear you. And this is, like you said, only flat, well, sometimes it comes up a little early, 4:30, which they're trying to clear frequency, but that starts taking pre-net check-ins, I think, at 1:45, so it's time they find the frequency and all that other happy stuff. I think they started up both. Sometimes it starts at 4:30, but find a clear channel.
Yeah, I dragged my foot there for a minute in case somebody else wanted to jump in. But, well, yeah, you got those guys up on 3935, Wolverine or UPNet, whatever that is, sometimes. But generally the signals have been pretty decent too, as of late, you know. If we're getting closer, going into spring and summer, probably going to have to move it up on 40 meters. But lately I've been hearing everybody, and I'm lucky, right? I mean, I'm fairly central to where everybody's at, so I can generally hear everybody pretty good. WACOP.
Okay. Yeah, Mike's put a lot of time and effort into trying to make it sound right. Bought some audio suppression stuff and put up a different antenna, and I mean he's gonna put some work into making it sound good, so frustrating that people take that for granted and don't respect it. Give it up better.
Well, you're always gonna have naysayers. You know, everybody's got an opinion. So. And, of course, in a society, I'm right and you're wrong, right?
Yeah, I missed what you said there, Chris.
Yeah, I just said that, you know, you're always going to have people that are going to complain, no matter what you do.
Yep. For sure. Well, there's a few people, myself included, that, you know, wouldn't get on the net if it wasn't brought to VHF, UHF, so it's just the way it is.
So are you going to interop here in a week or so?
Yeah, that's the plan, unless work changes my plans.
All right, well, keep an eye out for our new EC from Iosco County. He came to breakfast this morning. He'll be there. His name's Pete Paxton. And he'll have a new call by then. He should have it anyway. NAPVP, Paul Victor Paul. And currently AEAJKI, but he put in for a vanity call. But anyway, he's the new EC for Iosco. He'll be there. And this is his first interop, so kind of give him some pointers on what to expect.
Yeah, we're not doing a presentation this year, but give it a rest for a year or so, I guess.
Well, last year when I went was the first time I'd been in about 4 or 5 years, I think, and I got to say you. Presentation you guys did was the best one of them all.
I appreciate it. Yep, I put some time in putting stuff together, and I know Chris put some time in doing the presentation, so It all worked out.
Well, final talk to you. Have a good time up there, and, you know, it's always good to network and run into people that you don't get a chance to see all that often. But, yeah, I was asked if I wanted to go again this year. I said, no, and give somebody else a chance to go. We'll see in a few years, maybe I'll go back. But been there and done that enough, so it'd be interesting to hear the some of the federal partners with the change in administration, how that's all working out for all of them. But I'm sure you'll get an earful. So. All right, Jeff, I'm going to jump out of here. So. There's you out there. Thought I'd stop and say hi. It's been a while. So. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you later. 73W8COP.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss it. Traverse City. I don't really miss that drive, but it's really no closer to Keegan for me, so it's just a different venue. But anyways.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Be warm up there. Throw another log on the fire. Talk to you later. Keep it up there.